But we're in the middle of the holiday, beginning of the holiday season, people traveling, people going, visiting relatives and friends and enjoying the meals that you put together, because that's the whole point of it, Matt, right?
Indeed, Thanksgiving, yes.
Thanksgiving is about the food.
Yeah, that's what I look forward to. And company's good, but the food is where it's really right. at.
And someone who can help us enjoy our holidays is Dave Koval, Health Commissioner with Lorain County Public Health, joining us for our monthly talk. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
So today we were and Matt's been in the food service industry earlier. He told put the poultry on the bottom. That was your phrase that you came up with.
What I was always taught, poultry on the bottom shelf.
There you go. Don't store your chicken over your lettuce. That's
exactly.
never a good idea.
All right. Let's talk about this, though. We have the main bird is turkeys or whatever. You want to make sure you're safe with that, right?
So right. So every year we talk to people a few weeks before Thanksgiving and remind them, plan ahead. If you're going to have a big frozen turkey, don't just plan on setting it on the counter to thaw out. Get it in your fridge, 4 or 5 days in advance so that it can thaw out in the refrigerator and you can be ready for Thanksgiving morning.
That way it's safe, as opposed to just putting it in the sink and going to work and hoping for the best.
Right, yeah.
I mean, there's obviously you hear stories or people have tried things or says, well, it worked okay last time, but sometimes people are fortunate that they did not get ill, right?
I mean, that's correct. And remember, as it starts to thaw out, the bacteria starts growing on the outside while the inside's still frozen. So that's the problem. But if you do it in the fridge, you're always under 40 degrees, so you never have to worry about it.
So we talk about the danger zone.
Yeah,
under 40, over 140.
That's correct. Yeah, so it's really important, especially during the holidays, keep your hot foods hot and your cold foods cold. So when you're done with your leftovers and you're finishing dinner, you don't have to rush. It's okay, but you have about 2 hours. But you want to, as soon as dinner's over, get the food into the refrigerator, and then if you want to, have dessert and wait to clean up, then that's up to you. But as long as you get the food in, that's really what matters.
And when you're initially making the turkey, you want to make sure you have fully cooked it. It's always a tricky part. There's the thigh, and so you're looking for measuring the temperature, what, in the thickest part, I guess, is what
I've heard. That's the idea, yeah. And so, they have the little pop-up yeah. thermometers, and they're pretty good. They give you a good indicator that it's probably done. But it's also good to have a thermometer and make sure it gets to 165 in the thickest part of the meat, and that way you know it's done. Because there's nothing worse than cutting into the turkey and you see it pink or red inside, and now you're worried. Uh-oh, right. Now what am I going to do?
Let's talk, I guess, also about the preparation. There's always that separation. You should probably put a nice, good counter space, or at least try to work with the raw food first, I guess?
Yeah, so one of the issues that you run into, okay, so the reason that you cook the turkey, right, thoroughly is to kill the bacteria, right? Well, if you take your raw meat and you prepare it and you leave the blood, the juice around, right, and then you put the vegetables on it and you chop up vegetables and make a salad, well, you just defeated the purpose, right? So really it's all about separating. It's nice to have a separate cutting board and use a clean knife when you're starting to prep the vegetables and things like that. Or just clean thoroughly your cutting surfaces and in between raw meat and prepared foods.
And wash your hands as often as you need to.
I say it every time I'm here. It's the holy grail of public health. Wash your hands.
Why is that so difficult?
Get into it. You're not thinking about it, I think, would be the biggest thing.
You grab something with one hand. You think, I just washed it. I just washed it 5 seconds ago. Maybe I get some extra points for having done that, but sure. It just takes one cross-contamination to cause a problem, right?
That's right. And it's really about surfaces, silverware, and your hands, and that's how you cross-contaminate.
Well, that's one of the biggest. I always think utensils. I always find myself stirring something with the wrong spoon and think, uh-oh, I hope I didn't do any harm to myself or others there. So that's one of the things I think to keep an eye out, right?
Is there a public health prayer you can say?
Yeah, right.
You just say, please.
Go through it.
No one saw it, so it's good, right?
Yes.
But obviously, you want to make sure that everything is healthful as possible. That's how you can enjoy your holidays.
Right.
Any other thing related to food you want to bring up that I might have missed?
The only other thing is we do get a lot of questions about, how much, I eat so much during the holidays, and what can I do to kind of you know, eat a little healthier, even though I want to have that big spread on Thanksgiving. And so what we've given some techniques on how to add extra vegetables, put some extra vegetables in your stuffing, and have maybe an extra side dish that's vegetable related as opposed to like a high calorie side dish. And so if you do a little bit of that, you'll find yourself eating a little bit of each side dish, and so therefore you'll eat less of the maybe more fattening stuff.
I like the method. That's what I do with my kids. You sneak the vegetables in somehow, and the stuffing. That's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So my wife does this to me because I'm not a big kale guy, but yeah. Of course kale is really healthy, and so she's always sneaking kale into the stuffing. So, you know, you don't taste it as much in the stuffing, so I'm happy with it.
It's a good method.
Let's talk about also keeping healthy because of stress. This is the time, too, where it's like, wait, oh, you know, I got things, so many things to do. I have to plan this. If you're the one hosting the meal, you have to do that. Or if you have travel plans, you have to put together, or figuring out how to work everybody's schedule together. What advice can you offer people?
Right. The stress is really kind of around the holidays broken down into two areas. One is the stress of you're hosting a party, you're making plans, like you mentioned. The other stress is sometimes it's the first time you're having a holiday when you lost a loved one or something like that. So it can be stressful, and not just for you, but for other people. So it's important to think about that a little bit as you move towards the holiday season. And, you know, the other problem you run into with stress is that you don't really feel it coming on until all of a sudden, you know, you want to rip your hair out kind of thing. And so one of the problems with that is during the holiday season, we don't get an opportunity to get out and exercise a little bit or take the extra effort to, you know, eat a little better, exercise a little more, and really to do something for stress relief. You know, if you're a yoga person or some other exercise person, you know, that can help a lot during the holiday season.
Pace yourself, I guess, is the best way to think about
it. Right. And again, take that little bit of extra time. So if you're gonna have the meal at a particular time and you're prepping stuff and the turkey's in the oven, go take a walk around the block, go do some exercise, do some, you know, stress relieving activities and you know, while the turkey's cooking.
Right. And as you mentioned about people with emotional issues related to things that may be going on, if there's a trigger related to that. And then we have this whole shorter daylight, which plays sometimes into people's attitudes or moods, too. So there's two parts to that.
Right. And sleep is a big deal, believe it or not. People, you know, irregular sleep patterns really causes a lot of stress. So if you can try to get 7 hours a night, 8 hours a night on a consistent basis, you'll end up a lot less stressful.
Talking this morning with Dave Koval from the Lorain County Public Health. We are in November, so we can officially get our flu shot now. I know that you are holding off on this, to make it last longer because our season around here gets later into the next year. So we want to extend.
So over the last few years, we've been pushing later and later. And this year we were like, okay, we're going full bore, not till November. So we've been trying to get people to hold off to get their flu shot till November, because it's important to remember that every month you lose a little bit of effectiveness of the flu shot. And so you want it to be as close as possible to flu season. And flu season here is January, February, and March. We start getting cases, you know, maybe the mid-December. And so right about now is the perfect time to get your flu shot. And so we are really busy right now, as you can imagine, but you can get your flu shot through us or through any of the places you can get around town. But we're happy to be busy because we want more people to get the flu shot.
Well, you've done a good job of promoting it, so you expect all those people to come in.
That's right.
So when you see them, you're glad. You just want to make sure. And you guys have their system worked out. One thing the public health department's good at is sort of the in and out kind of a thing, getting
that
people
is,
ready
yep.
to go.
Come on in. We've got it set down, and actually we go out to different locations also, you know, around the community, and we have that listed on our website at LorainCountyHealth.com, where you can kind of look at where you might be. And of course we're advertised in all the papers, and you know where exactly to get your flu shot. So, you know, we can come to you or you can come to us. Either way.
Are they all shots? I know the technology has changed how the delivery system is. For people,
we had a problem with the nasal vaccine a couple of years ago where it wasn't as effective, and so most of them are shots. And of course, we have high dose for seniors that are interested in high dose. So you have lots of opportunities to get what you need.
And once you get it, the time it takes for your immune system to kind of get alerted to this is there, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah,
or
it's
so?
About 2 weeks. And okay. So that's why it's important. Right about now is a great time to get it. And again, that way when relatives do come in from areas of the country, other areas of the country get the flu a little earlier than we do. Down south, they get a little earlier than we do. And so, you know, you have adult relatives coming in. Now's the time to get your flu shot. You'll be all ready when your Aunt Emma shows up at the doorstep.
It's interesting. It's procrastinate. Get it at the last possible second is kind of the idea, right?
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, when we look at national recommendations, it's, you know, get your flu shot in October. Sure. Because, of course, they want people who are from the south to get a little earlier than here. But it says right in the recommendation, depends on where you are in the country and when your flu season is. And ours is January, February, and March.
Wash your hands. These are the take steps to keep healthy. Like, wash your hands often with soap. That's number one right on the list.
The holy grail of public health.
Cover your nose and mouth with your sleeve when you're sneezing or something. By the way, that's the Batman move. I like to refer to that as
the
cave
too.
Comes in front.
Isn't
of
that more of a Dracula type thing?
Okay, Dracula. Yeah, maybe the Bela Lugosi version of that. Stay home when you're sick. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do, but that's, you realize it's better to stay home because otherwise there's going to be a lot of other folks that are going to get sick wherever you go, perhaps. Don't touch your ears, nose, and mouth. Katie Bevin always told me that. Don't be so touchy. Touch your finger because everybody wants to touch their hands to their face.
Right. It's a nervous habit. I have it occasionally, sure, too. And, you know, that's a really important around the flu season. That's not a really good idea.
Yeah. And then if you're one of those that are sick, please don't prepare the food.
Yep.
You don't want to pass it that way as well.
Right.
Now, there's something here that I haven't seen too much on your reports that you've come through. This looks at the 101 years ago a flu pandemic through the globe. Notice a lot of this, and just a side note, having done some ancestry genealogy, you come into relatives or people that were alive during that time, and you see death certificates from people in that era, of young people, of older people, of children or whatever. So this was a very... tragic time in our country and worldwide. What was the flu pandemic?
So Spanish flu came in 1918, and it really did wipe out 500 million people. And, you know, back then the world population wasn't that high. And so it was really was unbelievable. And really, what happened was younger, healthy people died because your immune system fought so hard you drowned in your own fluids. And it really was a problem. Now, it's important to remember the difference between a flu pandemic and regular flu, right? Seasonal flu mutates a little bit each year, right? And so that's why the flu shot comes out every year, and it's a little bit different than the year before. So you can predict that. It's not as severe. But when a flu pandemic comes in, it's called shift. Instead of drifting like that, where it changes just a little bit every year, it shifts dramatically from one type of flu to another type, and your body's not ready for it, and that's why it can be difficult to deal with. If it turns out to shift into a really deadly form of the flu, that's when you have a pandemic like this that can wipe out a lot of people. And so you hear that a lot. You know, a lot of the things that people don't realize is the local health department is looking at this all the time, and we're preparing for these kind of things all the time, and it may seem like we're paranoid, right? People have said that before. Wow, you're scared of everything, and it's not the case. It's just we need to be ready. If this does happen, we are ready to go to vaccinate basically this entire county, and so that's one of the things
you would have the proper vaccine for. If it made this big shift, is that what you're saying?
Right. Well, so what would happen? So there's a lot of things behind the scenes I'm not allowed to tell you.
Okay.
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. So between the CDC and the World Health Organization and our government system, there would be an actual as the vaccine's produced, there'd be a secure vaccine drop-off here in the county, and we'd have these points of distribution all over the county that we practice all the time to be able to vaccinate this entire county. So that's one of the things we do behind the scenes with police and fire and other folks for emergency preparedness. So that's one of the things we're always looking at. And, you know, the flu shot season gives us opportunities to practice how many people can we vaccinate in a short period of time. You mentioned how efficient we were. That's why we're efficient, because we practice all the time.
And you've done some of those points where you'll have some sort of a disaster or whatever. You kind of have those mimic things where you try to see what would happen.
Right. We did that. If you remember, a couple of years ago, we actually did one. And we did a couple. We did one that was called Anthrorockin', which was an anthrax outbreak at a rock concert, and then we also had we took one of our flu clinics and turned it into a large pod, and then we had all kinds of people come and volunteer to come in and just hit us all at one time, so we could be ready for that.
Huh.
And so we practice that on a regular basis.
Nothing beats an actual live demonstration as opposed to reading it in a book or planning it in a spreadsheet or looking at the outline. Here's what you need to do. But until you realize how it happens and the panic that could be a part of it, the emotional human aspect that gets into it, you really never know what's going to happen.
Just like sports teams, right? You got to practice. If you don't practice, you're not going to be any good at game day. So that's why we do it.
Again, we've been talking this morning with Dave Koval, Lorain County Public Health. If people want to find out more about the danger zone for food, the health, the flu shots, where's a good place for them to get all that
information? LorainCountyHealth.com.
Sounds great. Appreciate your time this morning, Dave.
Thanks.